Today we are broadcasting the highlights of a recent Centre for Independent Studies Big Ideas Forum, You Can't Say That, Freedom of Speech and the Invisible Muzzle. The third speaker at the forum, Dr. Thilo Sarrazin, was a member of the executive board of the Deutsche Bundesbank until 30th of September 2010, the year in which his book, Deutschland schafft sich ab, Germany Abolishes Itself, was published. The book was a bestseller but widely criticised by the commentariat. And why was that? Partly because Dr. Sarrazin denounced Germany's post-war immigration policies and strongly criticised the ideology of multiculturalism. For this, as you will hear, he was viciously attacked. Here now is Thilo Sarrazin.
Until 2008, I did not concern myself very much with the political correctness. I was too busy doing other things. In my career as a civil servant, as a board member and executive in different enterprises, and later on as a politician, I had the reputation for being outspoken because it's my way of expressing myself. But that concerned mostly the professional field and was therefore accepted. Everything that changed with an interview that I gave in September 2009 about the social economic problems of Berlin and their roots. And with a book that I had published in August 2010, it has a title, Deutschland schafft sich ab, the Germany abolishes itself. It's the main conclusions are that Germany as a nation is doomed by its demography. The low and stable birth rate means that every generation is about 35% smaller than the one before. Second, the brightest people have the fewest children, and for this reason, intellectual, the capacities and educational achievements in the Germany that will shrink even faster than the population shrinks. This is no danger for the future. This is already in full swing. Third, the kind of immigration that we have in Germany, mostly from Islamic countries in Africa and in the Middle East, does not solve the problems. It aggravates them. The reason for this is the Islamic cultural background and the poor average educational performance of these groups, which is far below the European average, even in the second and the third generation. These conclusions are, of course, the controversial, and they were intended to be. Because in matters of society, there is no such thing as an absolute truth. And I'm the first to admit this. So I had expected a controversial discussion, but nothing had prepared me for the public storm that broke loose upon publication of my book. I was accused of advocating biological determinism. I learned this word first in the discussion of my book, and I was labeled a social Darwinist, a racist, and an enemy of the people, and an enemy of the social justice. I survived morally and politically only because of the enthusiastic support from large parts of the general public. And the new media were also very helpful in this regard. In this case, the print media and the television had obviously lost their monopoly of interpretation, and this was plain for everybody to see. Realizing this, many politicians started a tactical withdrawal from the debate. At first, they had all been over me, and then after discovering that in the polls the majority of the people that supported my views, they were getting more cautious. In the course of events, I stepped down as a board member of the Deutsche Bundesbank, but not before I had been formally cleared from all allegations of misconduct in the following months. I thought a lot about the controversial reactions on my book, and the theory is as follows. The code of conduct in a society which is not laid down by law varies over time. It is to a large degree implicit and not subject to formal or even openly discussed rules. But those members who do not observe it run the risk of being excluded from the so-called good society. Having and expressing the right set of opinions about certain scientific, social and political questions is an important part of this code of conduct. Most people want to observe the prevailing code of conduct, but being busy with their jobs and their families, they have no informed opinion on their own on most matters. So they think and believe what the media say they should think and believe. Politicians, on the other hand, form their understanding of the public opinion by consuming the media. Most of them sincerely believe that voters think what the media write or say they think. Media are made by people, and media people they recruit themselves in the process of the self-selection, much as lawyers, doctors or engineers too. So there is a particular code of the social group. Polls show that media people mainly listen to other media people. Endorsed by this self-selection, media people on the whole have a set of opinions that tends to be on the left side of the mainstream society, and this is true for all kinds of Western societies. I don't say this is a bad thing in itself, but I think that this partly explains the mindset of political correctness. Most people shy away from saying or even thinking anything that is perceived to be politically incorrect. So the mechanics of political correctness that prevent the expression of dissenting the opinions, the notwithstanding the formal freedom of speech. It even stops the generation of incorrect thoughts. The prevailing themes of political correctness are deeply ingrained in the, to some degree, unconscious mindset of the political class and of the media. To my book, I identified 13 themes which constitute the main body of political correctness in Germany. And here is a list. First, inequality is bad. Equality is good. Second, industriousness, the precision, the punctuality are of no particular value. Competition is morally questionable, except in sports, because it promotes inequality. Third, the rich should feel guilty. Exception, rich people who have earned their money as athletes or pop stars. Fourth, different conditions of life has nothing to do with people's choices, but with the circumstances they are in. Fifth, all cultures are of equal rank and value. Especially the values and ways of life of the Christian Occident, of Western industrialized countries, should not enjoy any preference. Those who think differently are the provincial and the xenophobic. Six, Islam is a religion of peace. Those who see any problems with immigration from Islamic countries are guilty of Islamophobia. This is nearly as bad as anti-Semitism. Seventh, Western industrialized nations carry the main responsibility for poverty and backwardness in other parts of the world. Eighth, men and women have no the natural differences except for the physical signs of their sex. Ninth, the human abilities depend mainly on training and education. The inherited differences play hardly any role. Tenth, there are no differences between peoples and races except for their physical appearance. 11th, the nation-state is an outdated model. The national identities and the peculiarities have no particular value. The national element as such is rather bad. It is at any rate not worth preserving. The future belongs to the world society. 12th, all people in the world do not only have equal rights. They are in fact equal. They should at least all be eligible for the benefits of the German welfare state. This is no joke. There are people in Germany who think just that. 13th, children are an entirely private affair. Immigration takes care of the labor market and of any other demographic problems. Every item on this list has, for those who propose it, high emotional value, and therefore is always a danger of injuring those people if they regard somebody as being of a different opinion in this particular point. The core of the problem is partly moral and partly ideological attitudes are taken at face value and mixed up with reality. To show it as the example of equality, of course it is the right social and moral norm to regard all people as having equal rights and as earning equal opportunities. But this does not mean that they are equal. And if one confuses those two matters, one gets a wrong outlook on the reality and therefore in the end comes to wrong solutions and wrong answers. It is a permanent task, I am afraid, to sort that out. It makes me faintly optimistic, though, that after all the turmoil, I am still morally alive, and not as a person and author buried and ignominiously forgotten. That had certainly been the intention of the vast majority of the political and the media class, in my case in Germany, but for once the public publicly disagreed. This in itself is a matter of the satisfaction not only for me but for many people in Germany. Thank you very much.
Dr. Thilo Sarrazin, author of the German best-selling book, Deutschland schafft sich ab, Germany abolishes itself.